Hello, my name is Chris Snipes, and you are listening to The Melt.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about troubling and irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and
false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Narratives are astonishingly simple to construct. When you consider that six conglomerates pretty much own all of the major media outlets in the world, it's easy to see how much influence on so many, so few can have. And by media, I mean news stations, newspapers, publishing houses, internet utilities, and video games. So these are the companies that control the narrative. And I don't just mean what you see on the nightly news, but also what your children are being forced to regurgitate in school textbooks. As we have seen throughout history, not only does power corrupt, but money also corrupts. And when corrupted people and institutions are controlling our laws, our history books, our healthcare system, our schools, and not to mention the art world, this starts to sound more like an experiment in programming and social engineering than it does a world that exists merely to cater to our every convenience and whim. And by that, I'm not saying that the world should revolve around those things, but that I suspect that the majority of our worldly desires likely come from advertising execs rather than from deep within. Generations are labeled and categorized and are almost scripted to be pitted against one another, or at the very least, to appear to be speaking a different language. With this dynamic in mind, it becomes easy to imagine, at least as a provocative thought experiment, that it might be possible to periodically reinvent the world like one would flip an old house to sell to a new tenant, or like a scene out of Dark City. Today's guest, Australian dot connector Max Egan, has stated that all of history has been faked and that we are fast approaching another in a series of historical resets. I start off the conversation by asking Max how he came to explore the topics that he has for the last several years.
Oh, look, just a natural progression, I think. I mean, I woke up when I was very young. I always knew there was something terribly wrong with the world ever since I was about four. And I got kicked out of all my high schools, and I just ended up thinking, look, I'm in a madhouse. So I became a musician and lived on the outside of society for most of my life. And then when 9/11 happened, I decided it was time to put all the research, you know, do something positive with it. And actually, yeah, it became more of a hobby to me than just, you know, it kind of used to be a hobby. You know, you're always kind of looking at what is this big controlling hand, you know, the great mysteries of the earth, and what is this great conspiracy? And it's kind of this research you do on the side. But when 9/11 happened, I sort of saw how serious it actually was. And then the research became my main forte, and music basically became my hobby because I was a musician up to that point. And the stuff that I talk about now, I mean, it's just been a natural progression, I think. And when you start going down the rabbit hole, trying to figure out why the world is so messed up, it takes you through a whole sequence of things. I mean, my end point was ancient history. I wanted to know how they built the pyramids. And I got to the point that I realized that it isn't just the pyramids. There's so much stuff about history that is wrong. And so you think, well, why are they covering it up? So then it becomes about cover-ups. And then you work out that there's actually this major conspiracy going on with governments to hide the truth from everybody. And it just sort of, it's a natural progression. It just kind of leads to where it leads. And you know, once you become aware of it, and you become aware of this hidden hand, you're kind of able to predict what their next move is going to be, which kind of confirms for you that this hidden hand is there. And something you notice is that the world is going in a continual direction towards a complete dystopia. And it doesn't matter who you vote in or anything like that, it just never changes direction. So obviously it's not the agenda of one particular political party. There's a deeper agenda behind things, which is designed to lead us to a certain point. And most of what we see on the surface is pure theatrics, just to keep the people entertained and make them believe that they have a choice in what's going on. They can actually vote people in and vote people out, and they can actually have a say when they can't, you know. So yeah, it's just a kind of a natural progression to this point, and to see what's unfolding in the world today kind of vindicates everything that I've done and said in the last 20 years. So yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of putting it all out in front in an unavoidable fashion.
Well, yeah, this is something that I said was going to happen as well. In the beginning of 2019, I said that, you know, hold on, we're in for an incredibly revealing year, and that in 2020, the veil will fall down, everyone will get 2020 vision, they'll be able to see what's going on. And that's kind of exactly what happened last year. They kind of red-pilled most of the world themselves with what they've done with this whole COVID scam.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, I'm sure, well, and we can get into the Great Reset, which I think is where this is all heading. But I know that's been something that's been in the works for a long time. But I get the feeling that once they saw how easy it was to get the masses to sort of jump through these very basic hoops, then they're like, well, maybe we should speed this up a little bit. Let's kick this into high gear.
Well, yeah, and they certainly have. I think they were surprised at how easily the world complied with the lockdowns and everything they did for COVID. I mean, people are pushing back now. People are starting to realize that it's a fraud now. So in many ways, I think they might have shot themselves in the foot. I think there's going to be a huge pushback from people coming this year. But yeah, they've definitely sped things up. I mean, you could see them starting to do this back around about 2015. They really started to speed things up. And it's no surprise that they've tried this now, because I think they're desperate. I think too many people are waking up. That's why the mass censorship and everything they're doing, which is just serving to wake more and more people up. The problem is that it's becoming more and more difficult. I mean, the more people wake up, the more difficult it's becoming to actually share the message with others, because of the lockdown of social media and the bans on Twitter and bans on Facebook. I mean, I've been banned everywhere. I'm locked out of Twitter at the moment, pending a mobile phone number, and I don't have a mobile phone. So they want a cell phone number before they'll let me back in. I'm banned from Facebook, banned from YouTube, banned from Spotify, banned from iTunes. So, you know, they've kind of created these platforms which have become the central bases for data and information. And then they're able to lock you out of those platforms. I mean, the way they've done with Trump, they're going to ban the US president from Twitter. How can you even do this and call yourself a fair platform at all, regardless of what you think about the president? You know, it's just that level of censorship that they're actually able to ban the president of the United States. I mean, so that's the problem, is getting the information out to people, you know?
I think, yeah, the more that it's disseminated, the more widely it's spread, I think the easier it is to sort of infiltrate pockets that we couldn't before. And I think, I mean, mass media is a double-edged sword, I believe. I think that it can be a great tool to get this kind of information out, but at the same time, you know, it's also the great hypnotizer. It's what people who are on lockdown, they're staring at their screens, you know, looking for info to make them feel better, or usually it ends up freaking them out. So it's a plus and a minus. You know, we can connect more, but at the same time, it's also the same avenues that people get brainwashed by.
Yeah, and it's all very contrived. I mean, so much of it is about surveillance. The whole internet is about surveillance. I mean, and every part of it, cell phones are all about surveillance. Even with people moving to alternate platforms such as Telegram. Telegram is being promoted as this all new savior for us. It's an encrypted or whatever, it's privacy and, you know, all of the things they want. I tried to get Telegram for my computer. The first thing it wanted me to do was pair it up with a cell phone. So, yeah, I don't own a cell phone. And if it wants you to pair it up to a cell phone, then it's not privacy. Yes. Because the cell phone is the new world order. This is how they're leading people into it. Email from someone today saying they're leaving Telegram because Telegram just alerted them to the fact that an old school friend of them has just got Telegram. You know, here's an old contact for you to connect with. And they went, well, hang on, I haven't contacted this person for 15 years. I've never contacted them on Telegram. So Telegram must be accessing my Facebook data, and it's all linked up. For Telegram to even know that I have any connection to this person at all that I haven't spoken to for 15 years, obviously, it's all hooked up through the other social media networks. So everybody's sharing information, including Telegram. So he just went, well, I'm leaving Telegram today simply because he got that alert that someone, you know, an old friend has just got the app. So that shows that it's not private at all. They're sharing data across platforms. Telegram is obviously highly connected to Facebook and all these other social media sites for it to even have that data. So what else is it sharing back, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, everything that brings us more convenience tech-wise is also the same thing that's keeping track.
Well, this is what I've been saying as well. I mean, the whole AI system that's coming online is the internet is becoming basically self-aware. The internet is becoming, it's turning into something that is controlling our lives. And all of the data is being switched over to algorithms. And I've said to people, this is the big problem we face is the internet itself. We could have it there as a library, as a source of information, which was completely uncensored, find anything you want. It could be a great communication tool, but it's our need to automate everything,
yes,
which is creating this artificial intelligence, this autonomic intelligence, this autonomic virtual life on the internet. It's us being so lazy that we want everything done for us. We want everything automated, want all these tasks done for us. We don't want to have to think for ourselves. And the brain is like any other muscle. If you don't use it, it becomes atrophied. And that's what's happening. The internet is literally dumbing people down by removing their thought processes from them, by just doing everything for them. Again, which is our own fault. It's our need to automate everything. It's this automation which is creating the autonomic intelligence which is developing on the internet, which is eventually going to control every aspect of our lives. So it's a very dangerous situation we're leading ourselves into. Through our own sloth and laziness, you know?
Yeah, sacrificing autonomy for convenience. Yeah, I'm waiting for the ham radio version of the internet to come out where, you know, people have a box in their basement and that's how they access it through a frequency that isn't controlled by any kind of tech corporation. I don't know if any such thing is possible, but I can fantasize about
it. There is a way. There is a way to get on the internet and to surf the internet and to be completely untrackable. I've actually got a friend who's developed a way to do that. It requires an extra device. You can actually hook your you can run through ADSL through a cable, and you can also run through the local 4G network through Wi-Fi. And if you run through both and have it set up through this particular device is set up, then it's all completely private and completely untraceable. Even over Skype or whatever, they can't identify what your IP is or where you are. And that's good. But we need more than that. I mean, we need to have a completely separate system, which is completely unregulated. It's the regulation is the problem. And they're even saying now, like there's a new site here in Australia called Reset Australia, going with the Great Reset, of course. And it's talking about the dangers of social media, the dangers of an out of control social media, how we need to quell the spread of misinformation and blah, blah, blah. But of course, what is misinformation?
Exactly.
Simply anything that the government doesn't agree with is misinformation. Yes. Any questioning of the official line is cast as misinformation now. And this is extremely dangerous. This removes all open discourse, removes all questioning, removes all debate. You know, you can't question anything. If you do, you're spreading misinformation. It's the new buzzword. So it's a very, very dangerous reality we're heading into, the greatest book burning of all time, if you will, where everything is controlled via censorship. And it's a very dangerous situation.
It's farming out your critical thinking skills.
Yeah, for everybody, and no questioning allowed. Think about it, in any sort of a, how could someone like Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo or any of these people come to prominence in a world like this? This will remove all genius, the development of all genius, because if you start questioning things, you'll be seen as a rebel or a dissident or a misinformationist or whatever, by simply presenting a new idea or questioning any type of narrative at all. Yeah, it's kind of got to the point where they're saying, well, nothing can be invented now. We've already done everything. So now we need to control what we've got here. You know, it's complete dystopia.
Yes, exactly. And the buzzword, I mean, at least in the States, is, of course, conspiracy theorist. And that is kind of just goes hand in hand these days with being a right-wing conspiracy theorist. Which is ridiculous. I don't know if there's an equivalent to that in Australia.
Well, yeah, I mean, anything, you question anything, you're called a conspiracy theorist. Anything, you question the vaccine, you question whether they've done a coax posture on the virus, which they admit they haven't, and you're called a conspiracy theorist. It's what they use for everything. Now, you're a conspiracy theorist or you're a misinformationist. Even bringing up flat earth now, you know, someone questions, why have you got any isolates of the virus? And they'll just say, oh, look, here's a guy who thinks the earth is flat, and they'll just move on to the next question. It's incredible. They'll just dismiss it with that simple statement, which has nothing to do with flat earth or anything, you know, and that's what they're doing now. So all these buzzwords they've got in place, misinformation, conspiracy theory, you know, so yeah, that's just how they do it. And they just fob it all off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the news sources that I go to, at least for the last couple of months, have painted the COVID situation in Australia as pretty intense, the way that they've been dealing with it. Is that what you're finding too?
Well, it's been intense the way they've been dealing with it. But the thing is, there is no COVID situation. There is no COVID. There is no pandemic. They've been pretty intense with border lockdowns and shutdowns. Not too many people are complying with it. I mean, I don't see anybody here wearing masks around where I am. I'll never wear a mask. If I'm ever fined or anything for it, I won't pay the fine. I'm quite happy to go and challenge it in court. And I'll be putting counter charges against the government for fraud. And I'll be giving them a list of questions they need to answer to prove their claim that there's an emergency. Because it's the enacting or the claim of an emergency, which has allowed them to enact the Biosecurity Act to bring in all of these stringent guidelines. There is no emergency. It's what the people in the United States should be doing as well, talking to their local state governments and getting them to giving them a list of questions that they need to answer, you know, and giving them basically a notice of estoppel, saying you need to stop what you're doing if you can't answer these questions. And we'll give you, 7 days to answer these questions. If you haven't answered them in 7 days, then you have agreed that this is a fraud. And you know, we're just going to go back to normal, going to go back to getting our lives back together. And any action against the government will press charges against you guys for fraud, using your own law to do it. And this is the sort of stuff that needs to happen. People have got to start challenging them on their claim that there is any emergency at all. You know, because people are dying from the things they normally die from. And half of the people are getting the people dying in nursing homes and things. I mean, these people are being murdered by the state simply through isolation and deprivation and all the things they're doing to these people. There's even a doctor in Italy who's just been caught giving lethal drugs to at least two patients that have killed them, and they're claiming they're COVID deaths. This is probably not an isolated incident. This is just one doctor in one hospital, but it's probably not an isolated incident. How many other people are doing this? The people that are dropping like flies in the United States from these vaccines, and in England as well from these vaccines, apparently 181 people have died in the United States from the vaccine already. So, you know, people need to be looking at this and looking at the claim that there is any emergency to begin with. The emergency seems to be out of control governments, not any virus. The emergency is the response to this alleged pandemic.
Yes.
That's the emergency.
Exactly.
You know, the fact that the world's run by criminals, it's not anything to do with the virus. And even when you start looking into virology and what viruses really are, viruses don't make you sick. You produce viruses in your body as a result of being sick, as a result of detoxing. They're simply solvents produced in your body. The whole concept of germ theory and Louis Pasteur, I mean, this has been completely debunked anyway. And yet this is what our entire pharmaceutical industry is based on. It's a massive fraud. The whole thing is a fraud. All these vaccines do is train your body to attack your own immune system. And they're gradually dumbing down and reducing the lifespan of humanity through these medical practices. It's insidious.
And this vaccine that they're trying to push in response to COVID is a more insidious than a typical vaccine, right? The mRNA?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't even call it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. It's a genetic agent. It's not a vaccine. They're literally modifying your DNA. It's a genetic modification that they're undergoing here, that they're doing with people. You can't even call it a vaccine. It's an experimental RNA modifying agent that's going to modify your DNA. You won't be human after you take this vaccine. It's going to change the DNA in your body. It's going to insert a little piece of code in there. mRNA vaccines have never been used on humans before. Any coronavirus vaccines that have ever been made have been incredibly dangerous, cause incredible damage to whoever has taken them. And you can't even call it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. If they've never isolated the virus, then what is the target for the vaccine? They don't tell you that. And they're telling you that if you do have the vaccine, there's no guarantee you're going to be immune from COVID or stop spreading COVID. Well, hang on. That's the very purpose of a vaccine.
Exactly.
Is to create an immune response in your body. If it's not going to provide immunity, then how can you even call it a vaccine? You know, so it doesn't even meet the legal criteria to be called a vaccine. So yeah, people should absolutely not be taking it. It's about genetically modifying the human race. It's not about protecting them from anything.
What role do you think that plays in the bigger picture of the Great Reset?
I think it's going to be used to hook us up to the mainframe. That's what they want to do. They want to be able to monitor us in every single aspect possible. They want to know what you're thinking, what you're doing, what's in your body, who you're having sex with, how many times you're having sex, what you're eating, what drugs you're taking, whatever. They want to know everything about you, and that's what they'll be able to do through this mRNA vaccine. They'll also be able to target people, I would say. If you look at, there's a talk that was done by a man called Dr. Charles Morgan, and he gave a talk to the military about, it was called the possession experiment, how they could literally take over people's motor skills and literally drive other people. They had it where one guy was typing in one room and a guy in the next room's hands were mimicking what this guy was doing. This was through little things they'd put, little nodes they'd put on the brain, little electrodes. And they're saying, well, how can we get this into people? You know, you look at the mRNA vaccine. Well, what's that doing? The nanotech that they're spraying in all over the air, the nanotech that's probably in the vaccines, the nanotech that's in all the food we're eating. The whole human race has been genetically altered, and it's a way of hooking us up to the mainframe. So I think with this vaccine in us, they will literally be able to control people to any degree you can think of. You know, mind control, thought control, replace memories. Even Klaus Schwab has said we can replace memories in people. So they're quite open about this. I think this is just the back door. This is the way of getting it into people. They don't care how many people die in the process, as long as the people that are left are easily controlled. That's all they want. They only want 500 million people here on Earth anyway. So they just want them all easily controlled. And it's a huge experiment. I mean, they know a lot of people are going to reject this. A lot of people are going to die, but they don't care because the whole thing is a genetic experiment. That's why you can't even call it a vaccine. It's not. It's an experimental agent.
Yeah, it's scary shit. And you have said too that you don't think that, I mean, this great reset that we're talking about, you think this is just the latest in a long line of resets, right?
Yeah, I think they've done it before. Personally, I think they've done it before. I don't think any of the technology we're using is new technology. I think it's all recycled technology. Something that's been very interesting for me is the legends of the scrying mirrors and the talk of scrying mirrors, the sigils that are used for summoning demons, and the black mirrors that you look into that show you the future and the past and tell you everything you need to know, and the scrying mirrors that are used to summon Lucifer. Well, you know, when I look at that and I see the black cell phones, the black mirror cell phone, the black mirror screens that we're looking at, these are the scrying mirrors. I look at the sigils. This is electrical circuitry. So what they're saying is when you see this, and you talk to native and tribal people, they'll tell you that electricity is a demon. They don't know where it comes from. It's just this force that comes from somewhere. Even an electrician won't be able to tell you where electricity comes from. They know if they create these magnets and this copper wire and they spin it, it produces electricity. But they don't know where it comes from. They don't really know what it is. But when you get that force and you channel it through these certain sigils, which are these circuit diagrams, and you fire up these scrying mirrors, then it's about to lead you into the mainframe. And they've done it before. I mean, you look at the technology. Look at when television was invented in the 1940s or 1950s, around there. And what we've had since then, I mean, look at the progression of technology since then in the last like 70 years or so. It's been phenomenal. I mean, are we seriously to believe that we just came up with all this stuff? You look at the extent of the underground bases across the United States and Europe and other places as well. Look at the timeline we're given for the Industrial Revolution, like, you know, 150, 200 years ago. Are we seriously to believe that these underground bases were built using this technology in the last 150 years, or were they already there? Have they done this before? Do they just filter this out? Do they repopulate the world, you know, depopulate the world and then repopulate it with children? Go and look up orphan trains, foundling homes, everything that happened around 1880. And they repopulate the world with children, teach them any history they want, tell them there's just been an industrial revolution. Then they invent the television for them, and it's a natural progression up to where we are now, where they lead them all into the mainframe. And I think they've done it before. Look at the catacombs beneath Paris of millions of bodies buried there. Same beneath Lima, beneath Rome, all over the world. There's these catacombs with people there. Look at the research regarding the mud flood, how there was some depopulation event that appears to have happened around about 1840 or 1850, right around the world. And then the world was repopulated with children around about 1880. Again, look up foundling homes, orphan trains. And here we are, we get to this point. You know, we're living in a people farm. They grow the flock and then they harvest the flock. And that's what we are. It's harvest time. You look at the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony in the UK. I've actually featured this on one of my shows. It's actually a coronavirus ritual. The whole thing's a coronavirus ritual. Even the shape of the arena is shaped like a coronavirus. You had the nurses all dancing, doing TikTok dances at the London Olympics. You had the child catcher coming down, the parents disappearing, the nanny state being introduced to the world. It was all there in the London Olympics. And yeah, I think they've done this before. I don't think any of this technology is new. I know it's a big, you know, a big rabbit hole for people, and it's a bitter pill for a lot of people to swallow. But I think history is completely fake. Even looking at Tartaria, a lot of people have heard of Tartaria now, the biggest empire that nobody ever heard of, that seems to encompass most of the world, which has been completely expunged from our history books just in the last 100 years. So yeah, I mean, the world is very, very different to what people think it is, brother.
I could totally see that. I mean, just in the short time I've been alive, I can see how from generation to generation, how easy it is to sort of rewrite it. I mean, from something as simple as remaking classic movies or doing covers of songs. I mean, that's just a very small, fragmented version of that. But it's happening with history books, too. You know, they're being rewritten.
Yeah, they're rewriting everything. Changing it all, changing the narrative, and from generation to generation. Some of the stuff that's being taught to kids in school now, I mean, it's nothing like what we were being taught in school. And you can see how it molds the minds and just leads them in the direction they want to lead them.
It's insane. So what is the, I've also heard you speak of, you mentioned Lucifer before, but you've mentioned something called the Lucifer system.
Well, when I think about Lucifer and the Lucifer system, this is the internet. When you look at the name Lucifer, the bearer of light. Well, what is light? Light is information. You know, you walk into a dark room, you strike a little flame in there, and it gives you information about the room. Light is information. So Lucifer is the bearer of light, the bearer of information. What gives us more information than anything else? The internet. What does the word Lucifer break down to? Lucas, light, cipher, code. The code that bears the light. You know, it's the internet. The scrying mirror is the internet. This is the Lucifer system, the biting from the apple, that you know, that this need for information, this, you know, why do we need all this information that we think we need? Why do we need to know what the rocks are made of? Why do we need to know what the stars are made of and what's happening out in space? Can you go there? You can't go there. You can never figure it out. You can say space is water. You can say space is space. You can say the earth is in a globe. You can say anything you want, but you can't prove any of it. And what does it matter? Is that why you're here? Why do you need to know that? How does it affect your life? It doesn't. It's that need for information which caused us to leave the path of wisdom. You know, we started tearing the earth to pieces to find out what it was made of, to find out how it works. Now, you don't tear a kitten to pieces in order to love it. You know, as soon as we did that, we ceased to love the earth. We ceased to love our home. We started to put information and knowledge over wisdom
and experience. You know,
and that's what leads us to this point. And it leads us to the point that this need for information creates this autonomic system ourselves. We created ourselves by this misplaced perspective that we've got. And they even tell you with the Apple computers, there's the apple there on the cover with the bite out of it. They've told you what you're doing with this. And we're creating a system whereby we're giving all of our control over to it. And we will worship it. A lot of people worship the internet. They think the internet is this all-powerful thing. It'll give them all the information they need, any question they've got. They don't talk to people about it. They don't go read a book. They don't talk to the elders or get any experience. They Google it.
Yeah,
you know, so we give it all away to Lucifer, and then Lucifer turns on us, because what it's going to do, like I said, as it becomes more and more autonomic, we're going to get to a point around about 2025 where we're going to lose control of the internet. It's going to, by that time, it's going to be in control of all our financial services, all our finances, all our electricity, all our food production. Everything's going to be controlled by algorithms. And it's going to be algorithms that no longer support us. We no longer have control of the internet. And all it's going to take is for a few engineers to try to regain control of it, for the internet to view them as a threat and to lock them out. And it won't differentiate between humans. It'll just lock all humans out. So once we give all our power to it, it takes everything from us. And then we're just left to try to survive as best we can. But we have no life skills left by that point, because we've lost them all, because we gave them all to the internet. Even our ability to think, even our ability to find our way around the hometown we live in, we can't even do that anymore without a GPS. Yeah, and all of the stuff that's happening in the world today, even the lockdowns, the results, the response to the pandemic, everything, it's all been dictated by computer algorithms. It's all leading us to the point that it wants to lead us to. The AI is already in control. That's the Lucifer system. And it's been wrapped up in religion, and people think Lucifer and Satan are the same things. They're not. It's a completely different setup. Lucifer is the bearer of light. And what is light? Light is information. What gives us more light than anything? The internet. And what does the word break down to? You know, the light, the code that bears the light. You can kind of see it there. And this is something that I talked about back in, I think, 2014 or 2015. I had this epiphany where I realized what it was that we're creating. I mean, what can I say? The Unabomber was right, you know. He went about things the wrong way, but he was right, you know.
Absolutely. It's hard to avoid the biblical undertones of some of the stuff, you know, like especially the book of Revelations where, you know, no commerce can happen unless you have the mark of the beast, which could easily be the trust stamp that, that Gates is trying to push.
Well, yeah, the health passports.
Yes.
Common pass that they're talking about in the United States, where you're going to need this pass to get in and do anything. And they're talking about the quantum dots and the cryptocurrency. The Bill Gates is even, you know, the patent 060606. You can't make this up, you know?
Yeah.
But even when you look in the United States, they're saying you've got to stay 6 feet apart, 6 feet distancing. And they've got those signs in the signs in the shopping center on the floor where you've got the three people. And you got the six foot apart between them all, 666. It's right there, you know. And you can only have six people over, and you got a curfew at 6 p.m. And the sixes coming up everywhere. They do it every time. They play it at the same time. They play it the same way. But then they tie it all up in religion. So we think that the 666 is the number of the beast, and it's going to be this big satanic devil horned whatever. No, it's just it's a warning. All of these legends are there to warn you what's going on, but they co-opt it. They turn it into a prophecy. Somebody just sits back and allows it to happen and thinks they can do nothing about it. It's all ordained to be this way because it's written in the book. The book is a script that they're following to, just to keep you in action so you won't do anything about it. And it's working quite well. You know?
And maybe even in the book, speaking of the Bible, the flood is describing one of those resets.
Very likely. I mean, and the flood, the great flood did happen because it's recounted in just about all cultures. But what caused it is the question. And when was it? Was it really thousands of years ago, or was it just a couple of hundred years ago? Yeah, a lot of stuff with history. I mean, I think a lot of stuff has been pushed back in time, and it wasn't actually thousands of years ago. It was only hundreds of years ago. And they created the Dark Ages and pushed it all back in time. So we would just think it's all lost in the past and great mysteries that we'll never uncover and rah, rah, rah. But I think history is completely fabricated. It's all a lie.
Do you think that they or the them that you refer to are some just like a cabal of humans that have nefarious motivations, or do you think it's off planet or AI? Do you have any conjecture about that?
Interesting question. I mean, I think AI is already in charge of a lot of stuff. It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if there's land we don't know about as well.
Yeah.
If they're hiding land.
Sure.
Look at the diaries of Admiral Byrd. I mean, all they would have to do would be take it off the maps and we'd never know. You know, control the flight paths, take land off the maps, and how would we ever know what this realm is that we live in and how much of it there really is. So it's anybody's question. I'm not going to say that I think it's this or I think it's that. It just opens it up for debate. And ultimately, I don't know.
Sure.
People who claim they do know, I think, is the problem. This is why I've often said that even the truth movement is a loaded term. It's not really a truth movement. It should be a freedom movement, because what it is at the moment is a whole bunch of people arguing over their belief systems, people arguing over what they think is true, but they don't actually know. It should be a movement aimed at creating the freedom needed to find out what the truth is. So yeah, it's kind of a loaded term, the whole thing. I don't know who they are. I have my suspicions, but I'm not going to kind of put it out there because I can't prove it. And as soon as you put something out there, people say, oh, Max said this, and you know, they want to debate you and argue about it or whatever, and it all just creates more division, you know.
Yeah, that's why I try to quantify it with the word conjecture, just as we're just tossing around ideas here and not laying down anything in stone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, going back to this whole COVID outrageous narrative, another thing that's driving it, another thing that they're trying to freak people out by is the numbers, the case numbers, which are supposedly arrived at by PCR tests. And you state that that's not even a test at all.
Well, it isn't. A PCR is a polymerase chain reaction. It's not a test. It's a tool that you use to gather samples of DNA and amplify them to a point that you can study them. Testing positive in a PCR test or a PCR in a PCR, you can't call it a test, but testing positive from PCR doesn't actually prove that you're infected with anything. It's completely bogus. And this is what they're using to ramp up their numbers. You know, this whole thing is based on a fraud, and it's the PCR tests that they're using to do it. And there's a lot of people speaking out about this now. There's actually a great couple of doctors, I think, from the UK or the United States. I can't remember. I haven't watched the video yet. I've got it sitting here ready to watch, that are just blowing it out of the water, I'm told, as well. There's so many people that are talking about it. It's all based on these fraudulent PCRs. And even the WHO has now said that the PCRs are the wrong sort of test to be using. Fauci himself has said that anything over 35 cycles on a PCR is irrelevant. It's meaningless. And here we have countries doing like 40 to 45 cycles on a PCR. So it's completely meaningless. These tests are absolutely meaningless. Their claims of new viral strains and new mutant strains, they're all meaningless. How do you know there's a mutant strain if you've never done a Koch postulate or isolated the original strain to begin with? You know, so, you know, and it's the PCR that they're using. And never before have we seen healthy people being tested. I mean, you can get, with a PCR, you can find a molecule of just about anything in anybody, and you can amplify it to the point that they'll test positive for that molecule, but it doesn't mean that they've actually been infected with anything. So it's the hugest fraud, the hugest fraud. And that's what they're using. And never before in history have we gone out and testing healthy people all the time and telling them that they're sick. It's like the governments of the world have all developed Munchausen syndrome. It's crazy. So people should not be doing these tests. And they should be questioning the government on the use of these tests, and ask the government, I mean, ask these questions, ask the government to explain what they're even looking for with these tests. I mean, even with their claim that they've identified the virus, they've only got like 30 base pairs or something, 30 base pairs of a particular RNA that they claim is the belonging to CARS or SARS-CoV-2, but it could belong to thousands of other things and not that. And then they've got a computer model to construct the rest of what they think the virus should look like. And they're claiming there's like 30,000 base pairs to this virus, and yet they've found 32, and they're claiming this is the base for the virus, and get the computer to construct the rest. So it's a computer virus. It's a computer model that they're even basing their program on. This is the equivalent of finding a hair and a fragment of bone and a fragment of horn and saying, I think this comes from a unicorn. So I'm going to get the computer to build me the rest of the unicorn from this bone fragment, this hair follicle, and this horn fragment. And I'll get it to build 5 unicorns, and then we can all vote on which unicorn we think is the right one. That's how they came out with it. They voted, and it was a consensus vote on which one they thought determined on the computer models they were looking at. It's all computer models. So again, who's in control? Is it AI already? Because it seems to be AI that's leading us into this point, you know. So, it's,
the web of connections between all the people involved in this, Fauci and Gates, and I mean, it's just insidious. They all seem to lead back in the vague same area, which, you know, even Marina Abramovich and her doing the advertising campaign for Gates, that being linked into all sorts of other things, Epstein, and I mean, it's. How could you not smell some sort of a strange conspiracy going on here? It's ridiculous. It's fascinating too.
It is. It's ridiculous. There was a guy actually put out a great connection with all that, and about the Wuhan lab in China, the biological lab in China. Is actually owned by GlaxoSmithKline, who by coincidence owns Pfizer, the one who produces the vaccine for the virus that by coincidence started in the biological laboratory in Wuhan, which was funded by Fauci, who is by coincidence promoting the virus. GlaxoSmithKline by coincidence is managed by BlackRock Finances, who by coincidence manages the finances of the Open Foundation company, a Soros Foundation, which by coincidence serves the French AXA. By coincidence, Soros owns the German company Witherher, which by coincidence built the Chinese lab in Wuhan and was bought by the German alliance, which by coincidence has Vanguard, a shareholder, which by coincidence is a shareholder of BlackRock, which by coincidence controls the central banks and manages about one third of the global investment capital. BlackRock is also a major shareholder of Microsoft, the property of Bill Gates, who by coincidence is a shareholder of Pfizer, who is selling the miracle vaccine, and who by coincidence is also the first sponsor of the WHO. I mean, you can't make it all up. It's all one big happy family.
My God. Yeah, I mean, come on. It's impossible not to question it. I mean, this one sliver of any of that is questionable, highly questionable.
Yeah, it's all, they're all connected. Pfizer, GlaxoSmithKline, the lab in Wuhan, all of it. And there was no biological agent that was produced in Wuhan. The whole thing's a fraud. I think they just got Chinese people out to those ghost cities and they got them to film. They filmed all these people falling over and all this stuff. I think the whole thing was a puppet show, you know, just to get the concept out to the people that there was this terrible pandemic. And it's all connected. All the players are heavily connected. And you look, just look at the amount that the world billionaires have made. The top 11%, I think, of population, the richest 11% of the world, have their wealth has grown something like 20 to 25% in the last 12 months while all this has been going on. While everybody else has been screwed and lost everything, these guys have grown dramatically and they're all connected and they're the ones running the whole thing.
Well, where do you go to get your information on this? Do you have news sources? Do you find where the overlaps are? Do you do your own research?
Yeah, all of the above. I look at all the news sources, find where the overlaps are. I look at all what the mainstream is saying just to see what sort of a narrative they're feeding people. And I get so much information sent to me now as well. Like I wake up to like 200 or 300 emails every morning. So I have so many people sending me stuff now and I spent so much time just sifting through it and cross-referencing stuff and seeing what's real and what isn't. And so it's kind of this ongoing thing now. I've kind of almost created a bit of a nightmare for myself with the amount of information that I've got coming in at the moment.
But
it's been great that people are finding all this stuff. And look, what I mean, there's so many people that have been red-pilled now and there's so many things happening in so many countries. And when you put it all together, you see how they're all working in lockstep with each other. It's one worldwide system. One worldwide government is here already. It's just consolidating its power. So, yeah, I mean, I check out all the sources that I can, all the mainstream sources that I can, and all the alternate sources that I can, and just see what shapes up. You know, don't believe anything. You know, look at it all, but don't believe it. Just see what correlates with other stuff and what's reinforced by other stuff and just see where the rabbit hole leads.
I think it pays to look behind the news source too and see where their interests lie, who they're funded by and, you know, what their biases may be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that says a lot about the information that's coming in too. Well, going back to the PCR test, the guy that invented it, Kerry Mullis, is that who the guy is?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't he died mysteriously shortly before all this happened, right?
Yeah, he died about September or November or something last year, just before it all happened. And he was saying he didn't like Fauci. He was saying they were using the PCR to identify the AIDS virus. He was saying, no, you can't use PCR to identify the AIDS virus. It doesn't work that way. That's not what a PCR is. Like I said, the word PCR and test doesn't even fit in the same sentence together. And he was very critical of Fauci. He thought Fauci was an idiot and they were misusing his diagnostic tool. And if he'd been alive today, I think, you know, the whole thing would have been blown out of the water. He would have been the one voice that they did not want alive when they ran this whole program. So it's no surprise that he died last year.
Yeah, speaking of news sources and all that, it's, and the media in general, it's so simple to run a disinformation campaign. And this whole thing is a perfect example of how seamless that can be.
Yeah, and the media is so responsible for the state of the world at the moment. The media are even more powerful than the governments. The media are the ones who've sold the lie. These people should face Nuremberg-type trials, all of them. They are absolutely unconscionable. They're not spreading the truth at all. They're not even researching anything. No journalism, no open debate, no question of anything. They're just pushing the lie. And most of what they're saying and bringing to people is literally barefaced lies, absolutely unconscionable. People should turn their televisions off. I don't even own one. I've never owned a TV, and that is the problem. You know, that they are the ones that are selling it, and they can make or break any government at all. So most of the politicians I've found are too stupid to even know what's going on, and most of them are compromised anyway.
Oh yeah.
But the media are the ones who are selling it more than anything.
Absolutely. And they're the same people that are sponsoring the same corporations that are sponsoring mainstream media are sponsoring the politicians too. I mean, Big Pharma is the biggest funder of both of those institutions.
Yeah, and the World Bank, IMF, they're really pushing this as well. Apparently, they've been giving people like $940 million to lock their country down. They've also arranged bailout packages for airlines, because all the airlines have really suffered through this. And they're basically saying, the World Bank's saying, well, we'll bail you out if you just impose mask mandates and social distancing on your airlines and require people to have tests in order to fly. So, you know, it's blackmail, basically, bribery, blackmail. They've got the world by the short and curlies, basically, and by just locking everything down. This is something I said they were going to do back in 2008, my first film, The Big Picture. I said all this international interdependence of food, transportation, and all this, we're being set up. We're being set up for a fall. They're going to use food as a weapon. They plan to depopulate the world through a breakdown in the supply chain. I said this back in 2008, and that's what we're seeing now. And they've basically shut the whole world down, and now they're saying, well, we will open up if you do what we say. So that should show people that it's really not about any type of virus at all. And even the way they've got different rules in different states, and they can say, oh, we're gonna close the borders at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Well, hang on. You know, we found a new strain, so we're going to close the borders at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Well, if it was really a new strain, it was really going rampant and people were dying, you'd be closing the borders right now.
Immediately, you know? Yeah.
Immediately, yeah. You wouldn't be saying, oh, you know, we'll give you 24 hours to get your shit together, then we'll close the borders. And we'll just close for 3 days, a three-day lockdown. Well, hang on, you first told us it was 14 days to flatten the curve. That was how it's going to stop transmission. So what's the three-day lockdown there to achieve it all? You know, just to get people to see how they'll react to a three-day lockdown, to test for compliance is what it's about. So just the fact that there's different rules in every state, in every country, if this was really a pandemic and it was really about a virus, there'd be one protocol that had to be adhered to, and that would be it. And it isn't that way at all. So that should be a bit of a red flag for people.
Absolutely. And another, I think, symptom of how well the media has worked at brainwashing people is that they're now policing each other. Yeah, it's such an easy ground for battlefield for infighting. Like, people are policing each other. So the snitch culture has been turned up to 11. Like, they don't even need a law to enforce all of this stuff. They have citizens who, I mean, they brainwashed people into thinking that if you wear a mask, you're doing it for other people. So then you become this selfless virtue signaler, and anybody who doesn't is, you know, they're rife for shaming them or for putting them down. So you become sort of a hero, and a selfless hero if you wear a mask. So it's just kept, I mean, it's divide and conquer 101.
Yeah, well, this is what happens when you get people and you squash them into a box and you take everything away from them. You know, you give them a little bit of power and they feel pretty good about themselves. So by doing this, you know, people are able to feel a little bit powerful. Like, you know, I've got a little bit of energy from you. They feel better about themselves by snitching on someone. And some people go out there and they'll cause a hard time for other people just because they want their energy. They don't feel good until they've messed up someone else's day. You know, and that gives them the energy they need to be able to get through the day because they're so disconnected from source. And so you've basically promoted this, and now you've given everybody the opportunity to do that. You know, I can ring up and snitch on my neighbors, and then I can enjoy watching the police come around and beat them up, you know, and that'll make me feel better about my own miserable life. So that's what they do to people. You know, it's insidious, but it's just a part of human nature. It doesn't surprise me at all. Turn the whole world into the brown shirts, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what do you think, I mean, sort of rounding out the hour here, what do you think we can do either as a collective or as an individual, or maybe which one of those dynamics is more effective in order to change the direction of all this? Because I think it's totally changeable.
So do I. Well, we've got to push back. Do not wear the masks. Do not pay the fines. Issue notices of liability to politicians saying that you're going to hold them liable for their actions. Ask them to explain their actions. Anytime you're charged with anything, like for not wearing a mask, say you want to put a counter charge against the politician for fraud, they need to prove what they're saying. They need to prove these masks are doing anything other than causing harm, because what they're saying goes directly against peer-reviewed medical science. It goes directly against all, even what's written on the box the masks come in. So, you know, we need to push back in every possible way we can and refuse to comply. Notices of estoppel, I think, are a good thing as well. Sending these to politicians and letting them know that you're going to hold them personally liable, not their station, not the office of prime minister or the office of governor, but the flesh and blood man or woman, we're going to hold you responsible. You need to explain your actions. So, I mean, they're red pilling the whole world. I think notices of estoppel, questioning, Freedom of Information Acts to get them to explain their reasons for the lockdown, their claim that there's any type of emergency. All of these sorts of things can help. But basic non-compliance is the best way. There's no need to go out to protests and march in the street. They want you to do that. The only thing that achieves is showing solidarity with other people. They know that there's other people who feel like them. But people should just stop complying. In Italy, 50,000 businesses have just opened up. They're just saying, no, we're not staying closed. 50,000 businesses, they just all did it on the same day. There's no way they can police that. So that's what people need to do. Just get back on with your life and stop complying with this. That's the best pushback we can do. You stop complying with it and put charges of fraud against the people that are claiming you need to lock your business down and stay closed down. Charges of fraud against anyone claiming that this virus is real. Ask for proof of claim. People need to grow a backbone, brother, and stand up. Ask for proof of claim of any of this stuff being real, and it'll go away if enough people do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a woman named Pam Popper who I've had on my podcast a couple of times, and she's set a whole movement in motion, handling it on a level exactly similar to what you're talking about, completely supporting or not supporting politicians, right or left wing, but totally on their stance of where they stand with vaccines and where they stand with COVID and lockdowns, and that's it. So if you're for lockdowns and you're for wearing masks or mask mandates, then next we're moving on to the politician that doesn't believe in that and holding their faces to the fire as far as, okay, this is an emergency. We'll prove it. It's an emergency. And nobody can prove it. It's an emergency because it isn't one. So I'm
that's
totally
exactly what
her.
Needs to happen.
Yeah,
that's exactly what needs to happen, brother. People need to push back and you know, get them to prove any of these claims they're making, because they're all completely fallacious, all of them. And yeah, I mean, that's the best form of pushback we can do. So yeah, it's good to see people doing it. I mean, marching in the street and doing all this stuff, it's not going to achieve anything. They just, you know, the police come along and cause violence. The media blames it on you. And then Joe Public just goes along with the flow. So yeah, asking the politicians to prove their claim is a great way to go about it. Notices of estoppel and doing it against the flesh and blood man and woman, not against their office.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, Max, thanks so much for taking the time out to sit and talk and chew some of this stuff up and spit it out. And hopefully, you know, maybe we have gotten some people's minds turning a little bit, or help them to feel like they're not the only ones who are thinking or questioning the stuff. Where can people go to your excellent and informative website online?
You'll find everything about me at thecrowhouse.com. You'll find links to the other platforms that I'm on there. I'm on BitChute, I'm on LBRY, ThreeSpeak, there's a few platforms, Gab, that I'm still on, and you'll find everything there on thecrowhouse.com. It's an old HTML website, so just deal with that. I'm never going over to WordPress or putting anything on the cloud. So I still use an old like 2005 version of Photoshop. So yeah, I don't do anything cloudy at all. I've never even accessed the cloud. So it's an old HTML website, exists on my computer here. So yeah, you'll find everything about me there. Thanks for having me on, brother. Pleasure to come and talk to you, and we'll do it again anytime you want.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe we'll check in a couple of months down the line and see how things are going.
Not a problem, brother.
We'll talk soon.
Okay, brother.
See you, Max.
Bye-bye.
If you like what you've heard and would like to contribute to The Melt, there are a few ways that you can do so. The most tangible way would be financially by clicking the Patreon link in the episode notes, and there you will find a multitude of ways that you can help for as little as a dollar a month. This helps to keep making The Melt better, pay the bills, and help to make this podcast my full-time job that I can fully devote my time to and give you more content. Another way of helping would be by going to wherever it is that you subscribe to The Melt and give it a favorable review or rating that will help to get it out to more people. And lastly, if neither of those options are readily available, simply send your good thoughts and intentions. In an interconnected and quantumly entangled multiverse, these also go a long way. Thank you.